Yes, Lord. Lord, that's what we want to be, a servant of yours in these days that we live. And Lord, may they see you in us and the things that we say and do. Lead us and guide us, Lord, so that we can show people the love, experience the love of you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Glory. We love you, Lord. It is good to see you here today. We're going to look and we're going backwards. Remember last week we shared about John the Baptist and sharing about the one coming and the light and how that was portrayed. And today we're going to go back to Mary and Joseph going back to their homeland. And then we're going to finish next Sunday back to the manger, you know, or really prior to that when the angel came to Joseph and to Mary and sharing what was going to unfold. And so we were going to look at that. And I thought, hey, 3 weeks, easy peasy, we can do it. And here we are. So, but you know what's exciting with God? It's not the numbers. It's not, well, you got to have so many people to really have a true service, right? Or to make it feel like, early on, I would think as I prepared for messages, it's like, really, God? I did and worked and thought and prayed and got this together and we came and there was a snowstorm and we got there and there's 3 people. But early on, I also realized that the word goes on and it continues to advance. And whether there's 150 or 5 or 4 or whatever, I learned early on, you go with what you got because God said that's what that Sunday would be. And so it's not like, well, I better save this for next Sunday because you guys aren't worth it. There's got to be 3 more people here to make this thing really worth it. If that's the case, where would I be at salvation? Jesus died for one, right? So one is very important to God. And so we did. We looked at that. But today I want to go into Luke because we were in John 1:1 last week. Now we're going into Luke chapter 2. But we're not at the beginning of chapter 2 because Luke in chapter 2 in the beginning talks about Christ born of Mary as the title. And it came to pass. Well, we're going to pass that by for the day. And we're going into that of starting around the 40th verse. So we're going back to where Jesus' parents returned to Galilee to their city of Nazareth. We read that every year that at the feast of the Passover, they would go to Jerusalem. Here we're finding that now Jesus is 12 years old. And he's found in the temple. That story, right? They went there. They left. They didn't know it, but they left him there. And they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening and asking them questions. We'll find in these passages that it is the only recorded event from Jesus' early childhood between his infancy and the start of his public ministry. So here he is at 12 years of age. So to get there, I look in chapter 2, and I go to verse 21 real quick, because after Mary had had the baby, and by law and how they accomplished things, and he would go back into Leviticus and things of that nature. But in when the 8 days were completed, Luke 2:21, when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then at that time, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they had brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And in verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So they're bringing him back and they're dedicating him back. It said, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die, he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. That light, amen? And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon, he blessed them, and he says to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so, here he is, 8 days old. Circumcision has been done. Now he's brought into the temple. We read Jesus presented in the temple as a child, as a baby. And now we find in verse 39, Luke 2, 39. So when they had performed all of these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Okay, let that sink in. Move on. Verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to, here again, the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they had returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. And so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem. In this time of the season, for those that are watching some shows for Christmas, there was one that came out way back 35 years ago, 1990, Home Alone. He was left alone. Here we find, I guess it happened here way before, Kevin. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now it was so that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And so when they had saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he says to them, what? Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Well, his father was Joseph, wasn't it? But no, he is speaking now of his heavenly father. I must be about my father's business. But here again in verse 50, they did not understand the statement which he had spoke to them. What a story. Circumcised at 8 days, presented into the temple, they departed, went back to their home country, and they were there for many years, right? It says now he's 12 years old, but every year they would go to the Passover, like it was customary to do. Jewish law requires that the males attend the feast of the Passover, also the Pentecost and of the Tabernacle. At the age of 12, a Jewish boy becomes a son of the law, and he begins to observe the requirements of the law. So as we've read this, I'm going to take a look at some of these scriptures, and let's open them up a little bit. And the Lord, I just pray now as we get into your word that we have read these scriptures over and over. But Father, I believe and I trust that as we read your word, that it comes to even a brighter light in our spirit, that we are seeing things, Lord, that maybe we didn't see the last year or 10 years or 20 or 30 or whatever, Lord. Because, Lord, I believe as we talk about your mercies are new every morning, Lord, I believe as we open your word and read your very word that it becomes enlightened to us in different veins and different measures. Not that your word has changed, but Lord, as we mature into your word, that we capture another snapshot of what you're wanting to show us. Let that be today, Lord, that snapshot as we explore this time and the birth of our Lord and Savior. Amen. At the age of 12, Jesus would be considered almost an adult. So he didn't spend much time with his parents during the time of this festival when they went to that time. Upon departing Jerusalem, it would be customary for the women and the children, because we always wonder, well, how did you lose your child? What nowadays you'd be calling child and family services, you know, and have the charges or have the parents brought up on charges of neglect, you know, like you left him. But there's customs, okay? So let's look at that. It was customary for the women and the children to travel in the front of the caravan. Customary. And the men would be at the rear. So as they probably went those 3 days' journey, now they're fighting and they're thinking like, well, Joseph's thinking, well, he's with her. Now, even though that age 12 considered a man, he was still could be either way as we read through this. It was customary for the women and the children to travel in the front of the caravan, the men to the rear. A boy of 12 years of age could have been at either location. And so the parents of Jesus thought, well, he's with the other. Anybody ever done that with your kids? You know, especially if you got 3 or 4 or 5, could you imagine keeping them all corralled? In verse 47 to 48, it said, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So they saw him and they were amazed. And his mother says to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And the Amplified, it would say, distressed and torment. You put us in distress and torment. So as we look at this, you know, they returned. So as they had returned, the boy had been lingering in Jerusalem and all. We've been these 3 days and whatnot, this journey. But anyway, the mother, you could just imagine the anxiousness. I have been anxious at times when you're trying to find, you're out shopping and your child kind of stays in an aisle or goes to the toy aisle and you're in another aisle. Or they're right behind me. Where'd they go? You know, the child is inquisitive and they're out and about. But she says, your father and I have sought you distressed and tormented, is what the Amplified would say. In verse 47 with the Amplified, it says this, and all who heard him, remember, we're talking about verse 47, when we're saying, and those who heard him were astonished and with his understanding in the New King James. And the Amplified says, and all who heard him were astonished and overwhelmed with bewildered wonder at his intelligence and understanding and his replies. 12 years old. Now this is Jesus. Just a mere boy, 12 years old, but now he's in the temple. He's listening to these rabbis sharing knowledge to the adults that are there, the men. My goodness. We find that the temple courts are famous throughout Judea as a place of learning. This was a place to learn. They would come every year, right? And they would come for the Passover time. And of course, they would depart. But there were those that were still in the city there. And they would go to these temples to learn, to be instructed, to learn greater depths of knowledge of history and the things of the laws and the things of God. So these temple courts were famous for that. And during times of Passover, the greatest rabbis of the land, they would assemble here in these temples to teach and to discuss great truths among the group that was there. As you think and read that, do you ever envision sitting in a temple? It could be like here, just coming to sit amongst the chairs here, and we sit, and somebody would be up here with greater wisdom than me, for sure, that would just expound on the magnificence of God and the laws and the ceremonials and the things that we need to know and learn. But they would teach these truths to this group. And now, they would be discussing, too, because they were aware of this, of the impending coming of the Messiah. Because it was spoken of him coming, but nobody knew how and where and how this was going to transpire. But due to the Messiah was being discussed as coming soon during this time, Jesus would have found that very interesting. Remember when he said, "I must be about my Father's business"? He had some inkling of who he was. But they would be discussing this coming Messiah, and this would pique the interest of Jesus. So he would have found that very interesting to listen, and he would probably ask some thought-provoking questions. It doesn't say what he asked, does it? It just says, "And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers." I don't know what they asked. I don't know what his answers were. But knowing that he was the Son of God, I could just imagine he was way beyond his 12 years of understanding of knowledge, right? And probably of things of not just how to plant corn, how to do this for animals or whatever, or take care of sheep. It was probably some very deep philosophical or some religion type comments and questions about ceremonial things maybe. And why, and how come, or how will this be taken care of, or whatever. I don't know. I'm just ad-libbing to this. So he would have been very interested to listen to these teachings, or to these very great rabbis sharing. So we find that Jesus possessed extraordinary wisdom and insight way beyond his age, and for sure his education. The religious teachers, they were experts here in the laws of the Jewish laws and of scriptures. Being astonished by his deep comprehension and authoritative answers. So in his later ministry, people would still be similarly amazed at his teaching and his authority. Even back then, this is Jesus as a child, a young man, a boy. Astounding to learn it back then. And even when he came into his full ministry of 18 years later, when he got into his 30s and 32-ish area of age, the things that he did, the things that he spoke, confounded those of the rabbis and the leaders of the time, because they knew the things of God. They knew the customs. They knew, so they thought. And they did know that of the Old Testament, and all of those writings and all of the stipulations of things. But the one thing they missed is they didn't perceive God to be coming in that of what? Mere man. They thought it was blasphemy. And they were wanting to protect God so much that we read way in the history of things of Paul, being Saul, was going to go out, and any person or Christian that had anything to speak of that of Jesus, of Messiah, they were going to change their thoughts to the way of thinking of the Old Testament of God and honoring and trusting God, that if they didn't obey those things or turn from that, Saul even had the note to say that you either change or come back to that or I get to kill you, throw you into prison, do something. But, you know, that was Saul before he came Paul. So back in that day, you could imagine a 12-year-old and these men of learned abilities listening, and his questions that he's asking and the things he's listening to, my goodness, it was Jesus sitting before them. He had a unique relationship to that of God. This event sets the stage that we would read in his declaration in Luke 2:49, when he said what? "Why did you seek me?" His declaration was this: "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Mark 1:22, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he had taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Jesus taught independently without appealing to previous authorities, whereas the scribes and those only repeated what others had said. Both the substance and the manner of the Lord's teachings differ from that of the official interpreters of the law. So This is the thing as Jesus is getting in when he gets into his fulfillment of ministry. That's why he was saying as he got older, he was out teaching, he was out sharing, he was out, ministering. But the learned, the rabbis, they didn't quite understand it. But it sets that stage about being about my Father's business. The interactions that Jesus is showing through this time, valuing the engaging with the Scriptures and asking questions and seeking understanding in one's journey of faith. He was found sitting with these teachers, listening to them and asking these questions, providing a model for an active lifelong of learning. And that's for us today. We need to look at his Scriptures. We need to look at God's Word. We need to put this into our hearts, into our whole soul, into our minds, to where you know that you know that you know, because there's times coming that this is going to be taken away. It's already happening in our days of today where people are pretty well disavowing the things of God and wanting to take this out of God, there's no God. You know, all these things that we are very much aware of today. So it behooves us to study God's Word, to look at these things, to put them into your spirit to where you don't need your Bible open. Now, you might not be able to speak it exactly verbatim as that particular scripture, but you will have a paraphrase in yourself of the understanding. This is what I remember reading this in scriptures, and this is what it had said, you know. And it might take me a while to find it, but you'll find it. But you've got the crux of what the God's Word is, and what that message is about the things that Jesus was about. And even for the things of today, we need to be learning, we need to be studying, we need to be listening to messages, good messages. We need to be, you know, I don't have all the answers. John, a wonderful teacher, doesn't have all the answers on Thursdays, but it's getting out amongst people and opening up God's Word. It talks about dividing his Word so we can divide it, not divide it to say we want to put something in the middle, dividing it to get into the crux of it, to get into the meat of it, to get down into the depths of like getting rooted into what God's Word is about. But so Jesus is there interacting and showing these values of engaging with the Scriptures and asking questions, sitting among these teachers. The verse highlights this mystery of the incarnation, showing that Jesus as fully human. He's growing physically. He's growing intellectually in a fully divine, displaying supernatural wisdom. Where did that wisdom come to this 12-year-old boy? Did he go to a seminary back then, you know, between, you know, his birth and 12 years of age? No. It shows during those times of his growing up, and even after this, going back until he came into his time of the ministry, working and serving alongside his dad, Joseph, doing carpentry things, doing whatever it was a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 22-year-old would be doing at that time. But yet he was God incarnated. Here, Jesus doing those things. But he stayed on track. He stayed on task until his time came. That speaks to us today that God has a plan and a purpose for you, and that just continue to learn, continue to grasp, continue to devour, to take his word and just chew it and eat on it, you know, be the manna, his word, right? The word of God. Because it's going to be used in your life somewhere. And it will help your life fulfill no matter how long you're up on this earth. It'll be there for you. It'll help you get from point A to point B to C to D as you travel this sod. Amen? Joint heirs with Jesus. The universal amazement of those that were sitting there heard him shows that the divine truth, when spoken with clarity and authority, has a powerful impact on who are willing to listen regardless of their background. And we can be that. And we're not going to be Jesus. But as he said, what I do, you shall do in even greater things. As he said, as I so say it, or as you see me, you have seen the Father. God, Jesus says that, right? Back in, as he's learning, as he's going into his times of ministry, and his age of 30 and 32 and whatever these ages, he is saying, when you see me, you've seen God. And what I speak is what I hear from God. We are that same. We are that same vessel. It's that what God is wanting for us to do, if we listen and follow Him through that of the Holy Spirit, by reading His Scriptures, by meditating, by devouring these things and just chewing on His Word, it'll be in you and it'll come out of you when it's time and when it's necessary. That's what it is for us as we begin to share and be able to bring forth the message of God. Jesus is showing that to us. We too can have an impact as we begin to share the things of God. Now, this location that Jesus was found in, this temple court, it's a central place of Jewish worship, where learning religious teachers, or where teachers were there to teach and to help those learn. The King James would say doctors in the King James Version. Religious teachers, King James, I think, says doctors, gathered to discuss the law. Back then, they would discuss a lot of God's law. Today, there's a lot of discussion on God's law. And also that of Jesus. And Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. It's the plan of God, the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. It's the plan of God for you today that sit here. So he's sitting among these teachers, participating in just a common rabbinical method of learning that involved listening and asking. Then everyone who hears him, they were amazed, right, with his understanding. They're looking at him as a 12-year-old child, thinking like, wow, where has he been? You know, what teaching? Who taught him? Well, God. God taught him. I mean, if God created Jesus, God came in that of the flesh of, in Jesus, the incarnated Word, right? Right before them, the very one that they're talking about, where the laws came from and what the laws honored, that person was sitting right there in that temple with them, but they didn't recognize that. They didn't recognize Jesus as that of the Son of God. That's why they ended up killing him, hanging him on a cross. They didn't like his news. They didn't like what he was sharing. They thought he was totally against the things of God. But, you know, I think sometimes you can be so learned and so much head knowledge that you miss the trueness of the heart, of what the heart of the Word is, or what the message of God is. God didn't come to speak of something so difficult that it took learned men, rabbis and things, to dissect and to read his Word. I love that verse in the Bible that says, come unto me as little children. And I want to remain a little child before that of God, so that when I read his Word, I don't try to conjure up why. I don't try to think of the purpose without first saying, this is very interesting, God. What does this mean? What are you trying to get across to me in this word? This word is the same word that's been here from the foundation. And it'll be that same word until he comes again. Many of us will probably be long gone upon this earth. We will just be the vapors gone. And these same words will be read by those 50 years from now if the Lord shall tarry. 200 years from now if the Lord shall tarry. They will open up and they will read the same thing that I am reading to you today. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And many of them in the future, wherever that future is at, is going to try to be doing the same understanding, like, what was this meaning? How could this be? Now we look at it because we have the end of the story. Anybody that looks at a movie, if you've already seen it once or you went and saw the end before you saw the beginning, you would know how it's going to turn out. So we've read this, we've seen this, we see that of the revelations and the things to come. And so we know that, oh, he's going to be hung up on a cross, but he died, but yet he raised, but yet he's at the right hand of God the Father. We have all that. Back in these days, they didn't have that already. They were clueless. So we have to give them just a little bit of understanding, like, you don't know what you're seeing right now. You don't really know what you're saying right now, that you're speaking to that of God, you know. Just about wrapped up here. What's kind of nice about this, when you tell these little stories like this, it doesn't take a whole lot of time. We just want to focus upon this aspect of his age of 12. Now, in 248, so when they had saw him, they were amazed, and his mother says to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Mary's words are conveying her and Joseph's genuine grief, their anxiety, their distress, and having lost him. Could you imagine? You lost Jesus. You lost the child of God. Her question is one of a concerned parent who cannot understand why her child would cause them such worry. The reference to Joseph as your father, okay? So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother says to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you." The reference to Joseph as your father sets up Jesus' response in 49. "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But it's where he is emphasizing his unique relationship with the Heavenly Father. What would Mary have been thinking? Like, what do you mean you're about your father's business? See, remember back when Simeon had said these things in verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for his fall and rising up of many in Israel." But they really didn't understand all of that. What was even being said back at eighth day of the circumcision? They're not understanding of what this is. Now, granted, right, Joseph and Mary both were visited, and we'll find out next week, they were visited by that angel of announcing the birth of Jesus. You're going to be with child, and it's not going to be a child conceived with that of Joseph. Joseph, your wife-to-be is going to be with child, but it's not been from your seed. The Holy Spirit has come. And so they had kind of like, I guess, we'll kind of get into next week, but they heard and they saw and it developed and she had a baby. But yet, even as that happens, they're still not quite understanding of this whole thing of how it's going to unfold. And I think as us beginning to learn God's word and looking into things, we sometimes try to figure that out and we don't understand it either, do we? But I know God, he spoke to me. I know God by the Holy Spirit, I was asking and he shared this. And sometimes we hear it and we believe it and we trust God. But as time goes on, we are still kind of between and betwixt, like, how's it going to really happen, Dawn? That, well, Lord, what you've said is going to take place in my life, I don't understand that. And so we too will hear from God and know that it was God, but live a life of, I don't understand how it's going to happen. And then when things begin to unfold, we still are looking at, I still don't understand it, but I heard you, God. So these are the parents of Jesus, the mother and the father, the earthly mother and father. But yet they don't quite understand it yet. So the reference to Joseph as your father sets up Jesus' response when he emphasizes his unique relationship to his heavenly Father. This is, when we look at verses 49 to 50, as we're going through this, this would be the first time mentioning of Jesus' awareness that he was God's son. Prior to that, He was just a child growing up, 12, or, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11. Here it's being put into scriptures now where he's mentioned and Jesus is saying that he's aware that I must be about my Father's business. But even finding this out, he remained with his earthly parents another 18 years or so. Guess what? Living under their authority. Speaks a lot. So as a child, kind of knowing but not knowing, he's there in the temple, he's asking some very loaded questions, but yet he's respectful and he's listening and he's comprehending these things. And then he says, I must be about my Father's business. He's got something in him that he is not my Joseph's father. There's a father that I'm going to be about my Father's business. But yet, he goes back with Mary and Joseph, and he continues to be a child. 13, 14, 15, 16. Living under their authority, and whatever that was and whatever that meant, right? Of being part of that household. So I guess that speaks to us. Earthly-wise, it should tell a lot of us. And as we grew up, we knew that we lived at home. We had a mom and dad. We lived, basically, who had the authority in the house? Mom and dad. Today, nothing has changed other than many homes now, they don't have that mom and dad authority. The kids are not listening to that. It's kind of like a rebelliousness. And the Word of God will tell us that in the days getting closer to the second coming, that kids will rise up against their parents. There will not be respect. There will be rebellion. All of these things that are unfolding that we see today. So we are seeing this continuing to graduate, but it's graduating along a timeline that God has already put together. And so where that, and we even looked at back in Sunday school a little bit, about we don't understand or we don't know when these God's coming back. And yes, we see the evil. We see the things deteriorating around us. I don't understand how we as a nation could be so far off from where we started and allowing so much in that shouldn't be and all of these things. But that's not surprising to God. And we looked at how the children came out of Egypt and how they went through the wilderness and all of these things and how God provided, yet some in the wilderness, the children, they complained and murmured against God. We do that today. So, you know, we look at these scriptures and we see these things, and it's no different today than it was back then, but the difference is that I'm living in today. And I'm seeing these things. But I'm also seeing them with the eye of God's Word to filter it through. And so when I see the things of evil happening in today, you know, we can look at it through that of the Word of God and know that it's evil in this world, evil in America. And so that's what we continue to pray for the nation, for those in authority, for those protecting us. But anyway, we look at this. God's Word is sharing all of these things. But Jesus, even though he knew his Father's business he was going to be about, he respected and was under the authority of his earthly parents until it was time when he knew it was time to go and begin. What was his first miracle was? What was that? Water to wine in a wedding. So we'll go into this next week and take it back into the visitation of the angels to Joseph and Mary. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your love for us. Well, Lord, as we are in this holiday time and we experience the love of Jesus every day of the year, and Lord, we understand the birth of him and we celebrate it, I know, in December, but Lord, every day we celebrate his birth. Every day we celebrate his resurrection. Lord, we know that he's there at the right hand of you. We know, Lord God, that you'd sent him to cleanse us of our sins. You sent him to reconcile us back to you, Father, because of the sin that came into that of the garden. We just pray that we continually share your word to those around us, that we can share your word to those that are lost, and that we pray, Lord, that something that we say, something that we share, Lord, will lead them into that path of your path. And that the Holy Spirit will continue to move upon their spirit, to open their spirit up to hear the word of you, Lord God, into their lives. We can pray, Lord, for your light to come into a dark place. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.